This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Great guests, lots of fun stories. Who knows what else is going to happen on this program. My partner's Wes Durham. He is down there at the Hinkle Farmhouse in Cartersville. Mr. Durham, how are we doing today?
It's not. Just at home, Cartersville, Georgia. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Awesome.
Bring it. Everything good? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You kidding me? Road trip yesterday down to Tiger Town. Looking at some real estate.
That's right.
Hooked up with my man Larry.
Real estate.
Looking a little real estate yesterday. Couldn't squeeze in all the meetings. I had people that wanted to meet with me yesterday. Couldn't get everybody in. It was a crazy road trip. We went down there, looked a little real estate, hooked up with my man Larry Penley at the Larry Penley Clubhouse.
But I thought
Penley
we were going for the art show.
I'm getting to it. Emerson had her art exhibit last night right there at Lee Hall, right on campus. It was fantastic. Bought some art last night.
Nice.
And then we had dinner at Rick Irwin's Clemson, which I cannot tell you. The meal was sensational. The service was awesome. And anybody that makes a trip to Clemson, South Carolina, and I'm not getting paid for this, if you don't put Rick Irwin's Clemson on your list, you have missed out. We finished off an incredible meal with a little baked Alaskan, flames going everywhere. I'm telling you, it was a big day. And then we loaded up the Ford F-150 with merchandise, a full tank of gas, and we road tripped right on back I-85. As crazy as that is, construction for the last 29 years, they're still not done with 85. And we rolled right in here to Queen City. And as you're going to see, I had a little work to do here in the basement. And went to bed. And about an hour and a half later, woke up, time to get to work. That's what we did. That's my day yesterday. Did not see a single shot of Augusta. We was too busy yesterday. Too busy. So there you go.
Interesting. All right. Well, we're going to update folks on the Packer and Durham Masters scoreboard here in just a moment. I'm glad you had safe travels to Clemson.
Excellent.
Sorry the meetings weren't able to get scheduled. You're a busy man.
Wes, I even had people at IPTE wanting to meet with me yesterday. I couldn't do it. I was like, man, I'm too busy and I'm too broke. I'm too busy and too broke. In that order. I have no more cash. I am tapped out. After the Bake Alaskan and buying artwork and looking at real estate, I have no more money. So for the folks at IPTE, love you. I really do. I support you. I got the pom-poms out when I'm not doing radio and TV, but I'm broke. So just leave me alone. I got nothing left. I'd even offer you a bite of the Bake Alaskan from Rick Irwin's, but it's gone too. I got nothing left.
Oh, you're
I barely have a shirt on
All
my
right,
back.
Okay. Last night, I ended up being invited into a dinner in Swank Buckhead.
Oh.
And I walked in. Yeah. La Billy O'Cat. Very nice. Right there in Buckhead.
Bring out the gold card. Better bring out the gold card. We're going to go to Swank Buckhead there in the ATL now.
Let me just say this. I got invited. That means I was invited.
I mean, you're not paying.
Walked in and Wake Forest All-American and prominent member of the Champions Tour was seated across from me last night, Billy Andrade.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I got a chance to spend a good bit of time with Billy last night.
That's awesome.
And catch up on things. And Billy, of course, who joined us on the Central back in the day.
We need to get him
back. Ready to go back out on the Champions Tour next week down in Florida. Boys have had a little bit of a break on that side of professional golf. And Billy said, hey, when we come on the show, you just let me know. And
he's
I was
great.
Like, you're our guy, Billy.
I tell you what, given Charlie Reimer's selection coming on here ragging us for our picks, we're going to show you the scoreboard here in a minute. And I love old Charlie Reimer. Anybody's got a big head and size 15 feet, I'm all for it. Here you go. Here's the scoreboard after the first round.
Look who's in front. Didn't see a shot in. Look who's in front.
I didn't even know that. How about that? I didn't even see a single shot yesterday. Wow. How about that? How about old Drew Brooks? Yeah. You know, he giving that Zalatoris breakdown yesterday. He might have known some. That Brooks, he keeps up with his PGA Tour stuff now. Man, Koepka and DJ had tough days. I heard the course was brutal yesterday. Brutal.
It was a little difficult yesterday. Rory McIlroy was doing pretty good till he hit his dad on the leg.
Yeah, I read about
Rory McIlroy hit his own dad with a shot.
Yeah, that's not good.
Daniel Berger, I like that pick. Josh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, how about
Charlie Reimer is six shots back of Macri. Kuchar threw a 7-8 at him last night, and Cantlay threw a 7-9 at him.
Yikes.
Got to be careful. You boys might be trunk slamming this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, you know, Charlie said he kind of enjoyed those Friday trips sometimes. You know, he kind of planned for a Friday departure. At this rate, we love Charlie Reimer, and he'll be back. But, you know, Andrade would be good.
His team will be departing.
And let me tell you something. Billy Andrade would be a great addition for us in our selections when we get ready for the U.S. Open. Because he's a trip. He's a
I know.
He is a gregarious sort. Oh, and a great player. I mean, great player.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Great player. And we talked some ACC golf last night. And I told him that Larry Pinley had passed Jesse Haddock for career wins. And, of course, Billy played for Coach Haddock at Wake Forest back in the day.
Right.
And Larry was like, man, or Billy was like, man, I love Larry Pinley. What a great guy. He said, I think I remember when he got started.
Yep, that's right, because Billy was during my time.
Yeah, so, and I said, well, believe it or not, Mark is at Clemson today, and there's a chance we're going to come back with some memorabilia for the show. And lo and behold,
look I got.
Look at the synergy of this program.
Look what was in the back of the Ford F-150. Look at that bad boy right there. Now, listen, yesterday during our interview with Larry Pinley, I asked him about, hey, what is that? What is the blazer up there? He said, Pack, if you want it, come get it. That's what I told you. I'm coming down this afternoon. Well, there it is. The 10-year anniversary celebration of the national championship of the Clemson Tiger golf team of 2003. I've got the blazer. And by the way, it's on the stand. It's got hands and everything. And I'm really thinking about somehow putting the Josh Pastner. No, I would lift it up. The thing's heavy, though. I'm thinking about trying to get the Josh Pastner floating head on the headless Clemson National Championship blazer. How about that?
That'd be good. I'd be all for that.
I also have got the trophy that Larry found in the back of his wife's car. And that would be Heidi Penley, who really runs the show. That's the trophy right there. See that one right there? That is the South Carolina Intercollegiate Golf Championship Team Champions of 1986. That is one of 82 that Coach Pinley has put in his back pocket. So when they're doing inventory, when Ipte comes over there to the Larry Pinley clubhouse and says, excuse us, there's only 81 trophies here. We're missing one. Well, one of them's right here in the basement, the 1986 South Carolina Intercollegiate Team Champions. Right there it is. How about that?
Hard to tell. Does that trophy have any inscription on it?
That's all it has on there. And Larry, by the way, said that when they won that thing, they were so sure South Carolina was going to win it, it was black, and he tore the whole thing off of it. So he tore all the black off of it because the folks who were throwing the tournament thought South Carolina was going to win, and Clemson does what they normally do to anything South Carolina, and that's beat them. So that's it right there, 1986 championship. So we got the 2013 Celebration National Championship blazer. And now a team trophy. Right. And let me tell you something. Driving around Clemson with that thing in the back seat, it's hilarious. Got to tell you. Be like, what's wrong with that guy?
And art.
We've got art. I mean, we had all kinds of stuff going on yesterday. Again, I couldn't even hook up with everybody I wanted to see. But nevertheless, there it is. Mr. Pinley had it ready to go at the Larry Pinley Clubhouse. Wes, I don't know if you've ever been there. Man, is it nice.
I've seen it.
It's
seen
awesome.
It from the road. I've never been actually through the doors.
No, it's tremendous. They got it for the men, the women. They got the practice, the trophies. I mean, it's first time. It's so far ahead of where we were 40 years ago. When Larry started, we were laughing about it yesterday. I said, Larry, do you realize where we're standing right now? 40 years ago, 38 years ago, when you got started and I was here. I said, we're going to be in the middle of the woods right now. In the woods.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, we were laughing about how bad the facilities were back in the early 80s and AstroTurf golf thing out there. And we were laughing, hitting golf balls in I.M. Ibrahim soccer field because the soccer fields were like Augusta, and we're over there in the cow pasture slapping at it with 8 irons and 6 irons and just trying to find some grass. I mean, they have come a long way. He has done, like I said yesterday, he's done, a ridiculous job. Ridiculous.
Yes.
Fantastic job.
Ridiculous is right. Monday on this program, by the way, we will talk to the head football coach of the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Swinney.
Didn't see Dabo.
Maybe we'll start posing some questions to him about Coach Penley and the success of the golf program. And if Dabo sees anything down there at the Larry Penley clubhouse, he might want to wrap his arms around.
You know, the club, Larry Penley clubhouse is literally right across the water.
Moana.
From the football facility, which is, again, world class. Yeah. But I didn't see Dabo.
Right.
I was too busy for Dabo yesterday. I was too busy
Dabo
for
Dabo. Dabo may have practice. Well, and you, was that right? Okay, got it.
I was too busy for Dabo yesterday. Even if he wanted to, I don't know if I could have squeezed Dabo in. Ipte, no. Dabo, maybe. But I got neither one of those done. Ofer Ipte.
Busy afternoon for old Packer and Durham.
Yeah, let me tell you. We were up in the hills. I will say this. We were looking at some real estate yesterday, and man, there's some beautiful. I keep telling you how beautiful it is there. Man, the water and the mountains.
Okay.
There was a part of me was like, you know what?
Swap that out of state tuition for real estate.
Well, you know, we're a month away.
Moving that money around.
There is no more money. There's no moving any money around. There is no more money. All right, after two. Out-of-state tuitions, we're done. We're tapped out. I mean, I'm fighting
tapped
Chester
out.
And Fuller
right.
for food at this point. It's a wrestle match.
Okay.
When the hounds come back.
Okay, got it. All right. We have got a great show here today on a Friday. We're going to get to your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. Larry Penley brought up a topic that we've gotten into a little bit, and we decided to we're going to give you the unbreakable records in the ACC. I mean, you start thinking about unbreakable records. Now, some are obvious. Coach K's career wins, things like that. There's some that maybe you don't know. Well, Tim Duncan's block record, that'd be one. Bobby Bowden's wins in football, 357. Do you know that there are like, Marshall McDougal had 16 RBIs one time in a game, six
bad
home
pitching.
Runs for Florida State against Maryland.
Terrible pitching.
So,
Maryland's
I mean,
pitching was awful
maybe.
That year. I mean, if we could see Maryland's pitching, you know what? That could be done again. They were humming it in there at 48 miles an hour. Florida State was slapping that thing all over the yard.
How about, like, Syracuse 22 straight Final Fours in lacrosse?
That could be difficult.
How about that?
That could be a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, so think about the unbreakable records in ACC sports. We'll talk about that a lot today. Dave Doran and Mike Norvell, in case you missed it from earlier this week, both have spring games on ACC Network tomorrow. Andrea Adelson will be here. Mike Johnson, the head volleyball coach at Notre Dame, another ACC team going to the postseason. And we look forward to visiting with Sue Semeral, who's now back as the women's basketball coach at Florida State. So we got a busy Packer in Durham here until 10 o'clock. 844-SAY-ACCN. You can always hit us on social media. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. We're off and running. We've got a Larry Penley blazer and a Southern South Carolina team invitational trophy of some sort that originally ticketed for the Gamecocks and ended up with Clemson.
That's right.
Sit tight. Packer and Durham's Friday show right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, it's a Friday. Round two at Augusta. We got new merchandise sitting here in the studio. Billy Andrade's fired up, looking to go low on the seniors tour. My brother done driving crazy.
Next week.
I like
that'd
that.
That'd be next week.
Billy
Tip
Andre.
Run.
We need to get Billy
Florida,
Andre back.
Naples, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We'll get Billy back. That's not a problem.
We also need to get Charlie Reimer to, dial in on some picks. I mean, he came on here yesterday ragging us. Man, your picks stink. I mean, he was very explicit with our selections Hey, no Georgia Tech guys. He's rambling wrecking on us. Got the pom-poms out. The guy's out there trying to break 80. I mean, Reimer, listen, I told you, any guy's got a big head and big feet, he's on my team. But, man, come on, Charlie.
Yeah.
We got to bring in a little more heat than that.
All right, 844-SAY-ACCN. Larry Penley's 82 wins, by the way.
Just like Tiger.
Which is an ACC mark.
Better driver.
passing Jesse Haddock of Wake Forest. Now, it brings to mind, are there potential records in ACC sports that are untouchable? Okay. Let's start with one. This is going to be right off the top. We're coming from the top rope. Tyler Hansbrough of North Carolina made 982 career free throws in his career at Carolina. Now, I'm glad Greenberg's getting to see the video of the Virginia Tech game at the ACC tournament.
800 against Greenberg.
The next closest guy was Malcolm Delaney. And this is in the ACC, was 721, okay? But here's the thing about Hansbrough. You start to think about A, number of games, B, four-year starter, obviously great score. But, Pack, he is 77 made free throws in the NCAA record. Not only is it the ACC record in Carolina, it's the NCAA record for made free throws at 982. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And I will tell you, the first you mentioned the things that come to mind. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of Tyler Hansbrough on that record, infamous ACC index card.
Index card, because yes.
I heard it every which way known to man. As soon as he touches it, the whistle. I've heard it. I wish I had a dollar every phone call or anytime I ran into somebody regarding Tyler Hansbrough is on the free throw line. That was the most uttered phrase on ACC broadcast during his career. Tyler Hansbrough on the line, shooting two.
Yeah.
Man, he was there all day. All day. I don't think that record ever gets touched. I don't.
I'm not sure it does either because the number of games, right? It takes... Remember, Carolina had successful teams, and you're talking about Final Fours, runs in the tournament every year, plus the prerequisite 32-something regular season games. All that happens over 4 years, and then you almost make 1,000 free throws, which is crazy. Hansbrough's also, in another note, he's a four-time consensus All-America. Now, he's the only player in NCAA history to be a four-time consensus All-America, according to our crack research staff. Now, Pac, does that ever get touched?
Well, here's why that's a hard one, because we're going through a different phase of college hoops. Mm-hmm. First of all, who's going to play 4 years? That's number one. And if you are playing for four and you're that kind of player, you probably developed into a really good player, right? I mean, if you're one of these kind of guys. But it doesn't mean that you were that guy as a freshman. And normally, that guy as a freshman is going to the NBA or doesn't even see college basketball moving forward. That's the other thing. I mean, we're about ready to, I think, get rid of the one-and-done phase, and you're going to see some kids out of high school go, hey, I'm ready for the NBA. Whether they're ready or not, hey, it doesn't really matter. They're chasing a dream. So I think that stat, Wes, I think that one's in a good spot, too. I'm not sure that's ever going to get touched.
All right. How about Coach K's all-time wins record?
It's a big number. That's a big number.
It's a big number, and it's going to get bigger. It's 1,170 right now. I would offer you this. I think this comes down to, and I was asked this question the other day by someone when talking about, Hubert Davis taking the Carolina job at age 50. Are we going to have many – when Jim Boeheim and Mike Krzyzewski kind of wrap it up, are we going to have coaches that coach 40-odd years, Pack?
No. Not happening. Seriously. Right. I mean, it's like when Mike Martin said goodbye at Florida State for baseball. I mean, that's – hey, enjoy it. Bobby Bowden, enjoy it, right? I mean, Mike Krzyzewski, enjoy it because I just don't see coaches – given the pressure at high-profile institutions, going for 40. I mean, number one, the money's fantastic, but the pressures now are unlike anything else. The landscape has changed in terms of how you put together a team. So I think the shelf life of coaches will be much, much shorter than what we've been experiencing even for the last 10 years. So, yeah, I think those, the days of, hey, Bob Jones and Susan Smith been here for 45 years coaching. Well, you know, I mean, unless they're a lifer and, you know, they own part of the institution, I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that we're looking at, you know, a standard in terms of wins from Coach K because of just the way the business is going to work. I'm with you. I'm just not sure we see anybody when Coach Boeheim and Coach K step away that's going to go that long. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there will be down the road, but I think it'd be very, very interesting. Dean Smith comes to mind. 17 regular season ACC championships. That's a record. Mike Krzyzewski has 11. Now, that might be catch. You might be able to catch that one. But, again, how much longer Coach K going to go, and are they going to win it every year?
Well, I wasn't even thinking about Mike Krzyzewski. I was thinking about somebody else. How about Tony Bennett?
Tony Bennett?
Given the fact that we're getting ready to go to an era that will not have Roy Williams, obviously. Eventually, right. Jim Boeheim, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Larrañaga, Leonard Hamilton, phenomenal coaches in their 70s, are going to go, hey, it's time to go to the beach, time to go play golf. And right. you kind of wonder about the transition of big-time programs. Who's next? We know Hubert Davis is going to North Carolina. Who's next at Duke? Who's next at Syracuse? Who's next at Florida State, et cetera, et cetera? And Tony Bennett is already in the conversation with this program that they've won multiple deals, all right? And he's not going anywhere, to my knowledge. Not how long these guys coach, I got no idea. But maybe Tony Bennett is a guy to keep an eye on who might be able to feast while we go through a transition there. I don't know. We're just speaking out loud here. But 17 is these numbers that you're going to hear for all these sports are phenomenal. So it's a cool bar talk is what this is.
Couple of playing records that stand that might be untouchable in ACC basketball both belong to former Deacons. One is the career blocks record in ACC play, and that belongs to Tim Duncan with 481. Alvin Jones trails him at 425. 400 blocks is a lot, period. Anything more than that, and almost 500 that Duncan had, is insane.
Yeah.
It's always good to see Ricky Peral video, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, if this is basketball, I don't know if that gets touched. If it's Twitter, you could do that. You could block 481 people in a millisecond, but not in hoops. I think that number is going to be safe. I think that number's safe.
All right. Okay. 481, you think? That one's, first of all, another four-year guy.
That's
remember?
It. That's
I mean,
it.
That factors I mean, into this. Four-year guy.
You got it.
Yep. Okay. Randolph Childress's ACC tournament scoring record, Pack. Oof. I remember when a lot of people thought Lenny Rosenbluth's 1957 mark was untouchable, and then Randolph scored 107 points in three games.
I think this is touchable. I'm going to tell you why. Now, he did it in three. I don't know if anybody's going to do it in three, but somebody could do it in five. And that's my point. That, you know, the expansion of ACC basketball, the way the tournament lays out, you could put yourself in the position that you're playing five games. And if you're telling me, hey, can a guy average 21 a game? Sure, he could. Because, you know, it's going to take a magical run for somebody to have to win five. For argument's sake, and that normally means somebody is on fire. That, hey, get on his back, let's go. He's going to drive us to a championship. So I'm going to say that is a reachable number. I'm going to go counter to the other.
All right, so you're going to give it on the format technicality, if you will.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless you tell me in three games. Now that's a big number in three, but I think somebody in five.
Yeah, it was.
Given the way the ACC tournament format is laid out, I think some team could be sitting there as the 14 seed who has one great player who makes everything he or she looks at. I mean, almost kind of like if Buddy Boeheim in Syracuse, I mean, listen, the way he was going, you're like, hey, watch out. I mean, we just had it.
Yeah.
you know, if Virginia doesn't knock off Syracuse, hey, Buddy Boeheim was looking at the basket. It was the size of my Ford F-150. He was making everything. I'm just saying. I think somebody in a five-game make a crazy run who's a tremendous player and score, I think that number could be hit.
Yeah. All right. There are three on the women's side we want to share with you as well before we get to the bottom of the hour and a break here. Asia Durr, who joined us a week or so ago, great start at the University of Louisville.
Yeah.
Her junior season, she hit a three-pointer in every game that year, 36 straight.
I don't think this is impossible. I mean, somebody's not. Like,
no, the hands, I think this one's catchable.
I do too. I mean, the Hansbro free throw line number, I don't know if anybody in the right mind in the fantasy world could get there. But I think, you know, you, first of all, you got to play 36. That's the key. I mean, you got to be on a team that's good enough. And if you are, and you're playing, the way the ladies can shoot now, I mean, their improvement in making shots is so much better than it was 5, 10, 15 years ago. I think that one is catchable. Not expected, but catchable.
All right. How about Duke? Blue Devil Ladies won six straight Player of the Year awards, Pack. Georgia Schweitzer twice, Elena Beard three times, Monique Curry. Six straight.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know if anybody gets that. I mean, eventually somebody else signs a really good player, right? I mean, forget about what you do. In this league, as good as it is, I'd be hard-pressed to believe that for six consecutive years, you could sit there and go, we got that one, we got that one. I mean, come on, that's a strong number.
Yeah, but you see the screen, Pack. Louisville has four straight.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know what? Okay. NC State's got a lot of players coming back. You know what? I like their chances of having somebody in that conversation. That's what I'm saying. The league is getting to the point where it's not just a team anymore. There's multiple teams with really good players. So I don't know. I think that would be, for Louisville now to go back-to-back moving forward, that would be spectacular, especially given the fact that Dana Evans will not be one of them. Just saying.
True.
Even though Haley's sitting there. I was going to say real quick. Haley, though, will be in the conversation.
Haley Van Lith.
Yeah. Haley will be in HVL. The conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Final from women's basketball and our last one in hoops. Is this unbreakable? Ivory Latta of North Carolina was the three-time ACC tournament MVP.
Well,
there have been two-time winners.
Yeah.
Three times on the ladies' side, Pack.
I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's impossible. But that's a strong number, though. That's a strong number.
There you go. All right. Just keep that one in your pocket. Unbreakable records, 844 say ACCN. We continue on. Dave Doran coming up, by the way, in about 15 minutes at 7:45. His team has their spring game tomorrow, 1 o'clock here on ACC Network. Florida State comes up at 5, and Mike Norvell, in case you missed it from yesterday's program, joining us as well today. But when we come back, we'll turn to football. There are three or four of these in football. One belongs to Travis Etienne out of Jennings, Louisiana. Oh, Clarkston Hines video. Yep, buddy. And Coach Bowden. All that and more next on Packer and Durham's Friday show. Great to have you with us.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday, 844-SAY-ACCN. That is the number for the program. As you're listening to us on SiriusXM 371 and assorted terrestrial stations from the Atlantic Coast Conference footprint. We got, by the way, we're not going to show this to you but till later. But we are apparently
worldwide.
We got people worldwide. In other countries that are watching this thing and listening to this thing. Can you believe that?
Yeah. And offering some thoughts that we'll share with you later.
What is wrong?
Offering
with
thoughts.
Man, why?
people getting up in the middle of the night and watching things.
What are they doing? Yeah. please.
I don't know. 844-SAY-ACCN. All right. There are a few football records we wanted to share that might be unbreakable. One, I feel pretty good about. Others, I don't know. Let's start with Duke. Clarkston Hines has the ACC record for touchdown catches. 38. The next closest, P-Dub at 32. Oh, is that the Tigers? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
there's Tar Steve Heels Spurg. Getting threaded.
Yeah. Head ball coach. Toss this thing around a little bit. Yeah. See what's going on out there.
Yep.
Yep. Throw it wide open. Throw it 12. He's wide open. Told you. I drew it up. Drew it up last week. Wow. Told you boys it'd work.
What happened?
I think this is a
Tigers a little vacant in the secondary on Clarkston Hines.
Yeah. Danny Ford. Youngster. somebody tackle that boy. I think this is a catchable record. How about that?
Pardon the pun.
No, I think you can get this one. You know why? Because the game's changed. Guys are tossing it all over the yard. I mean, the game is now first to 50. Let's go. So I think somebody on the right team with a quarterback they can deliver. I think you can get to that number. Call me crazy. I think 38 is within reach. I do.
Okay. How about Travis Etienne's rushing yards record?
This could be a problem.
Just set it. 4,952 passing the great Ted Brown.
The fact that this record stood for as long as it did, I mean, Ted Brown was a great player for NC State in the mid-70s.
Yep.
Let me emphasize, mid-70s. In this day and age, like I keep telling you, we're throwing the ball all over the yard. To get just under 5K on the ground running, don't know if that's going to happen. That one could stand for a while, I think.
Played a lot of games, too, and they
sure
all count,
did.
Remember?
That's
back
it.
In the 70s, they didn't count. Had Ted Brown's games count, and Ted Brown might have been over 5,000 yards.
Yeah, and you know what? If Travis Etienne would have played in the fourth quarter of most of these games, he'd had 6,500 yards
rushing.
See,
there you go. I totally agree. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're getting now to how many games, how much did they play.
Right. I mean, if Dabo Swinney wanted to play, hey, I'm Lincoln Riley, let's go win four Heismans, they'd have been tossing it and running it and beating people 75-7. That's not how he operates. Mm-hmm. All those numbers, you know, you put in perspective. But if for somebody to sit there and go, hey, you know what, I got 5,000 coming your way on the ground in this day and age, I want to see that. I want to see it.
Yeah. All right. How about Bobby Bowden's 357 wins, Pack?
Good night.
Nope.
Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Nobody touching this?
No.
Nobody touching this, huh?
I'll tell you what. It's not going to happen in my lifetime or my daughter's lifetime or their kid's lifetime. 357, I like this. I think that one's going to stand for a while, my opinion. Boy, is he a great coach.
All right.
Whew.
More untouchable, Bowden or Krzyzewski?
True.
No.
Answers. Boy, you know what? I'm going to say K before Bowden. You know why? Because we're going to play 40 games. You know, if somebody decides to last that long, I don't think either one are going to get touched. Number one, that's A. B, if I got to pick one, I would say K. If some young coach says, hey, you know what? I'm 26 years old. I'm going to coach till I'm 70, and I'm going to have great teams, and we're going to play 40 a year. Now, remember, back in the day, Wes, we'd play 20 games in the regular season. That's it. We're playing 40 now in a non-pandemic season. Who in the world's going to get 357?
If you're playing 40 games – right, but if you're playing 40 games a year and you're trying to catch Coach K, you got to coach at least – you got to win them all first, and you have to coach 27 and a half years roughly, 28 years.
I just said neither one's going to get touched.
But
if I had to pick one –
right, but
– I think that's the hard – I think K, you could – because you're going to get so many more opportunities. And, you know, you're going to load up on Cupcake U's – for a degree, and you're going to dominate your – I mean, to be in that conversation, you're going to have great teams, great players for an extended period of time. That's a given. And I think in college hoops, if you play 35 to 40 games a season, assuming that, hey, we win our conference, we go to the conference tournament.
Got
to
win them all.
We got to do that. We're going to be in the NCAA tournament for 4 or 5 or 6, whatever. They add up. College football, man, you're only going to get 15 in the best case scenario. Best case scenario. That's tough to do.
If you play, if you won 14 college football games a year, 14, in order to catch Bobby Bowden, to catch him, not pass, you'd have to win 14 games for 25 and a half years.
Not happening.
Right.
Like I said.
The K thing, I think they're both untouchable. And I'm not sure.
I just told you that. I don't think either one of them.
I know, but I'm not sure one favors the other. Yeah, I'm just not sure the process. A, the number of games you have to win. Now, basketball's going to play more, but are guys going to coach that long, Mark?
No.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
No.
All right.
Those are untouchable.
Here are the other – these last two, I seriously wonder. The last one, nobody touches it. But this one, Florida State had 14 consecutive top five finishes in the Associated Press poll from 1987 to 2000. Now – are we looking at somebody making a run at this?
Yes.
I think so, too.
I do. I mean, you know, I'm not betting that somebody's going to, but you know what? Those boys down there in the upstate are pretty good.
Well.
Just saying.
T-Town, upstate.
Yes. I mean,
those two kind of got the bar, right?
Alabama's going to fast track. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I know that they had the hiccup the year before, but that's why it's so hard to do it. I mean, a hiccup being, oh, we finished eighth. I mean, that's how great these programs are. I don't know if anybody will do it. I wouldn't bet that somebody does. But could somebody?
You
scratch your head a little bit. But that's a tough one.
Here's one that won't be touched. Our final one from football before Dave Doran joins us. 1916. The happy final. Georgia Tech 222, Cumberland the empty set.
I don't acknowledge that. I don't acknowledge that 1916 black and white.
Oh, come on.
I don't. I mean, I know it
come
happened.
On.
Great, terrific.
Come on.
Happened 105 years
come
ago.
On.
Tremendous.
He
beat
come
somebody.
On.
Drew Brooks was ticked off because he had Cumberland in 220 and lost. He couldn't believe he lost that bet, but that happens. It's Brooks, he bounced back. He found some Indonesian tennis tournament, got his money back. So it was all good.
Stop. All unbelievable. Good. Unbelievable. All right. Well done, Pack. We're going to take a break. Dave Doran joined us a couple days ago. Wolfpack plays the red and white game tomorrow.
Red
1
and white.
1 o'clock here on ACC
Wes,
Nick.
Get it right tomorrow.
Yes, red and white. It's red and white.
Don't throw the black jersey nonsense, all that stuff in Raleigh. It's the red.
I think there may be a black jersey on the field.
That may
quarterbacks might be in black.
Whatever makes you happy. But let's get something straight. When you talk NC State, it's red. And we're the red and white of NC State. I want to emphasize that.
It's in the fight song.
Just said it. Red and white.
All right.
Wolfpack.
A break. Dave Doran from earlier in the week joins us when
red
we come back.
See that?
Tell you what, the Wolfpack now. A little momentum off of last year, and Devin Leary back healthy. Coach D is next on the Friday Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Lots of guests coming your way. Andrea Adelson will join us.
Yeah.
And I should call her Coach Andrea Adelson. She'll be coming up
here
at the top of the hour. We got a lot of stuff to address with Andrea. I haven't seen her in a while. But Wes, this week, the coach, Dave Doran, joined us. And, of course, you've got the call tomorrow. The red and white game. Red and white game at 1 p.m. right here on ACC Network.
Yeah, Roddy Jones and I will cover it for you. And then at 5 o'clock, Florida State, you'll hear from Mike Norvell coming up in the 8 o'clock hour in our visit yesterday. But with Dave Doran earlier this week, we started talking about momentum. It's always interesting. Teams that finish a season and they feel like they've captured something, be it in the bowl game or somewhere along the way, and then – they're able to push it to the next fall. And that's kind of where we started with Coach Doran. His team won 8 games a year ago. And even though the bowl game didn't go their way, did he feel like they had a carryover from last season to what he's seen in the spring?
No, we definitely did. You know, I mean, using the bowl practices to get our younger players reps and kind of get them ready for spring ball was very important. We were able to play a lot of guys in the bowl game due to some guys that were out and help them, you know, build confidence to be guys that now are starters on this football team. And so, you know, would you like to win the bowl game? Absolutely. But I thought coming out of the season we had, we built a lot of camaraderie and chemistry. We have a lot of returning experience. And we've added some, you know, key components, not just with the high schools, but with transfers here and having those guys be a part of this spring. It's been great to pick up where we left off.
I don't want to go backwards because we're going forwards here, but there was a point in time about a year and a half ago. I mean, I didn't know if you could put 22 guys on the field and say, listen, let's go compete. Now, all of a sudden, all those dudes that got that experience, all those guys are coming back. What's it like now when you sit there and you go, you know what, we can kind of advance our practices a little bit, given the fact that guys have been through this before?
Well, that's the price you pay, I think, when you're a young team like we were 2 years ago and played a lot of freshmen. And those guys, you know, earned their scars and learned a lot along the way and then had success in their second seasons. And now you have a bunch of guys that have 2 years under their belt that are back for their third season. And along with some of the super seniors that have returned, it's an experienced roster. And so we paid the price a couple years ago, there's no doubt. But you know, it's fun now. You got guys that are in their third year that have played a lot of football, that have learned through success and failure, you know, what they need to do to be as good as they can be.
All right, I want to back up a little bit on the super senior. It's an interesting concept. You've had a couple guys who've elected to return and take that free year, if you will, the super year. What kind of conversations were those about, the impact they were going to have? Did you almost have to like re-recruit at times? How were those discussions for you?
You know, at the end of every year, there's kids making decisions. Should they stay? Should they go? And this year there was just more of them because there's guys that were basically out of eligibility that were given another season. And so it just starts with what can you gain by coming back? And you just add those things up. It's different for each player. You know, there's some guys that want to get faster. There's some guys that want more production. There's guys that just, you know, feel a certain way about being with their teammates for another year, or maybe they want to grow as a leader or emotionally. And then you look at where they might be drafted or if they'll be drafted and what that means. And if they play well, you know, moving up a round or two, what that could mean for them financially. And so you just go through all those things with them. And some of the guys chose to stay. Some of them chose to move on with their careers. But each kid has a little bit different set of circumstances, and so you just try to take them one at a time.
Coach, what are the position groups that you are eagerly anticipating to watch on Saturday, especially given all the experience that's back from last year's team?
You know, I think there's competitive depth right now in a lot of spots, and so getting to watch our defensive line and our offensive line right now, where you see some guys that may have played a little bit or rotated in or got in for a game, and now they've taken 12 practices and seeing that emerge. I think the two line of scrimmages for us, for me, are the most exciting to watch right now because there's a lot of competitive depth, there's good rotation, and seeing what those guys can do.
Since we're talking line play, we still handing these bad boys out Saturday? I mean, is a spring game still constitute pancake syrup? Is that what we're talking about? Because I saw your eyes get big when you say, man, I like watching my offensive and my defensive line play. And anytime we start talking trenches, I think of NC State pancake blocks and this bad boy right here. So I'm assuming this is still in play on Saturday, right?
It is, you know, not to the same accord, obviously, because you're your teammates, but those guys are always trying to get knockdowns and pancakes. And Coach Garrison, the O-line coach, and, you know, really it goes across the board, the tight ends, receivers, running backs, they all take a lot of pride in finishing and being a part of that conversation when we come in on a Sunday after a game, normally in season, and hand those out.
By the way, just to follow up, Before we started this interview today, I showed you that this is still one of my prized possessions, and you said you were disappointed in me because it's still filled up to the top. I have not opened it, and I told you I will not open up this syrup until NC State wins an ACC football championship, and I want to break bread with you, pancakes with you. We'll open it up when you guys knock that bad boy down. Is that a fair deal?
It's a great deal. I look forward to that. I really do, you know, yeah. Making sure that we have probably multiple bottles for that meal.
No, you know it. Hey, listen, you know how this goes. Since 1979, NC State Nation's ready to win one of these bad boys. We're going to need more than one stinking bottle to eat pancakes for that day, my friend. I got news for
you. No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
Get that Ford pickup truck filled with them. We're going to go eat some pancakes.
Two things here about Saturday. These are always interesting because I think there's an expectation level among coaches and players, and then there's that fan expectation about what they're going to see. I know you got some guys who are on the sideline this weekend, but there's also that eagerness, I would also think, to see young guys get an opportunity. For instance, I know Bam Knight's not going to play this weekend. You get to see more Jordan Houston, but you also get to see guys behind him. Devin Leary's coming back from the injury that shortened his season last year. But at the same time, I know Ben Finley's behind him. Is there, do you kind of walk that fine line a little bit with a team like this on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, the guys that are out obviously won't be a part of it. They'll be on the sideline cheering their teammates on. But the depth part of this and the experience, and sounds like we're going to have a pretty good fan base that gets to show up too. Just letting them play without the coaches out on the field telling them what to do in front of a fan base. It's an important moment for them. You know, it's something you can't practice, obviously, in your 14 other practices to get them in front of fans in the stadium, on TV. There's going to be a lot of learning that occurs. And, you know, every time you have a moment like that, you just don't know what that one play is that's going to help that guy build his confidence. And so we're excited to get them out on the field. And for the guys that are playing, it'll be a big day for them.
Time for football tomorrow. Wes Stern with a call. NC State at 1, Florida State at 5, right here on the ACC Network.
Yep. We'll have the Wolfpack red and white right in between two women's lacrosse games, and then Florida State at 5 o'clock with, Chris Cotter, Mark Herzlick, and Katie George.
Coveted invite.
Dope Campbell Stadium down in Tallahassee. Coveted invite back on the scene. When we come back, we go to hour two of this Friday program. Andrea Adelson, Coach Adelson, Pack.
That's what I said.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Coach Adelson about not only an article she and David Hale co-wrote last week about ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, but also what kind of coaching duties we got this weekend in the old Garnet and Gold game. We'll talk to Andrea about that and more as we move into hour two of the Friday program. Jim Phillips, though. On the spot with Andrea and David's work last week. We'll cover that and more right after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.